If you turn there, please. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I've entitled my message this morning, Every Knee Should Bow. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would use your word in our hearts this morning to teach us, to change us, to encourage us. Lord, whatever the need might be, I pray the Holy Ghost would have free course in every heart to use this amazingly powerful book to do a mighty work in our hearts. May we come expecting to hear from you. And Lord, may you meet with us now. May our Savior Jesus Christ be exalted and magnified and lifted up. We give this time to you, Lord. We pray all this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. The Bible tells us there in verse 9 that God hath highly exalted Jesus Christ. That's because Jesus Christ is Jehovah and is worthy of exaltation. And the Bible tells us that His throne is forever and ever. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8, the Bible tells us in Revelation 17, 14, that His name is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's Jesus Christ, our Savior. He is the one to be exalted and magnified. And notice it says in verse 9 that God hath given him a name which is above every name. Now, if we had time, we could just stop right here and spend the next 30 minutes just talking about all the wonderful names of Jesus Christ in the Bible. There are so many. Well over 200 names of Jesus in the Bible. But it's the name of Jesus, which means Savior, that God is talking about here this morning. The name Jesus. You know, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 12:3 to consider Him. Consider Him which hath endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself. I want us today to consider Jesus and what He's done for us and who He is. But God says here at the verse 10 that at the name of Jesus, you know, the world loves to use that name as a swear word. Do you ever think about that? You know why that is? Because the devil hates that name. Folks, we're to love that name. That's the name that saved us. Jesus. Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. I hope you're here this morning. You can say, He saved me. Amen. He made me a Christian. I'm born again because of that name. And that name shows up in the New Testament almost 1,000 times. The name Jesus. Let's go to Acts chapter 4, if we could. And the Bible tells us that it is this name of Jesus, and no other name by which man is going to find salvation. Amen. Jesus said Himself in John 14, most of us know the verse 6, He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. He says, I am the way. I am the truth and the life. He's not one of the ways. Notice Acts chapter 4, verse 10. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by Him, doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Notice verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Notice it says in verse 12, none other name. What name is that? Verse 10, Jesus Christ. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Look at Acts chapter 9, if you would, in verse 29. Acts chapter 9, verse 29. After the Apostle Paul was saved, after Saul was saved and became Paul, notice here it says Acts 9:29, and he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed among the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. Notice he spake boldly in that name. And then look at Acts chapter 15 and verse 26. This name meant everything to the early church. And it should mean everything to us. Notice Acts 15, 26. Men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hazarded their lives for a name. Notice Acts chapter 21 and verse 13. The Bible says, then Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
What a statement. Paul said, I'm ready to die for his name. Now, there's still people dying around the world for the name of Jesus Christ. We don't see that in this country. Praise God. But there is no other name. The Bible says that at this name, the name of Jesus, verse 10 of Philippians 2, every knee should bow. Now, we're all going to bow. We're going to bow now, or we're going to bow then. Much better to bow now. Amen?
Amen?
Acknowledge that He is the Lord, and bow the knee and say, please be my Lord, than to wait until the great white throne judgment where you will voluntarily bow, but because you'll be in the presence of Almighty God, and it'll be too late. You'll bow, but you're still going to hell. But every knee will bow. And every knee should bow. And if you're here this morning, I would hope that that's what you do every day. That you bow at the name of Jesus Christ. For He's worthy. Notice it says, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. So we'll start with in heaven. Just so we can get a glimpse of what's going to happen in heaven. Notice Revelation chapter 7. The Bible tells us that the angels bow to the name of Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 7, notice verse 11. The Bible says, and all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God. Angels are very powerful beings. We have in the Old Testament a record of one angel slaying 165,000 people in one night. Imagine that. And here we have the angels in heaven falling down before the throne on their face. Now, if you go to Revelation 5, there are some people at the altar, these 24 elders, and we don't have time to go into it, but these 24 elders are most likely us in heaven. And notice it says in verse 12, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. Fell down. Why? Because they're in the presence of holiness. They're in the presence of the Creator of the universe, Jehovah God. And the Bible says every knee should bow in heaven. We see here in heaven the angels worshiping God. We see the 24 elders worshiping God. And then it says, and things in earth. Now, we know what the attitude of the world is today. Nobody's going to rule over me. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. I'm not going to make anybody my Lord. And by the way, that attitude's been around a little while. Go to Luke chapter 19. And this was the attitude of the Jews in Jesus' day. Matter of fact, they declared their own judgment when they said at the judgment of Jesus at the false trial, they said, "We have no other king but Caesar." Imagine that. But notice here in Luke 19:14, when Jesus was telling a parable about the Jews, he says this was their attitude, verse 14, "His citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, 'We will not have this man to reign over us.'" That's the attitude of this world. But you know, Jesus said, "Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" in Luke 6:46. The Bible says things in heaven and things in earth, everything should be bowed in the name of Jesus Christ, and everything will bow at the name of Jesus Christ. But are we bowing at the name of Jesus Christ? And by that do I mean, is He our Lord? We talked about this at the Christmas service last week. If He's our Lord, then He's our Master. And if He's our Master, are we obeying Him? And are we bowing the knee? Because it goes on to say, verse Philippians 2:10, "and things under the earth." Now we know, according to Scripture, that that's where hell is currently located. And the Bible teaches that even those that are in hell, even the unsaved, will bow the knee at Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And this will take place at the great white throne judgment. Go to Revelation chapter 20 and I'll show you a glimpse of that. Revelation chapter 20. I think I said this in Sunday school, but folks, trust me, you don't want to be at this judgment. Much better to be at the judgment seat of Christ for Christians than to be at this judgment. Because if you find yourself at this judgment, it's too late. Because everybody at this judgment is cast into the lake of fire. Notice verse 11, "I saw a great white throne and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was no place found for them." Verse 12, "and I saw the dead standing," it says. Now, how can dead people stand? Because in the Bible, life and death has nothing to do with our bodies. Life has to do with whether or not we are connected to the one who is life, which is God. "He that hath the Son hath life." Or, "He that hath not the Son of God hath not life." When we are born, we're born dead. And if we don't get saved, we stay dead forever spiritually. It has nothing to do with our bodies. A lot of people scoff at that Adam and Eve story and say, "Well, he said that the day that they ate of the fruit, they would die." They did.
Amen.
They spiritually died that day. Now, their bodies started going downhill, like ours do. But they died. And we're born dead. And the Bible says here, verse 12, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God." Notice verse 13, "And the sea gave up the dead, and death and hell delivered up the dead. And they judged every man according to their works." Verse 14, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. So the Bible says things in heaven, things in the earth, things under the earth, every knee should bow. And every tongue, Philippians 2:11, "and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord." Again, much better to confess here than there at that judgment. Much better to confess now. Now, what's Romans 10:9 say? "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." The time to confess Jesus is now. That He is the Lord. As it says, confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. God wants us to confess Him as our Lord. That's how we get saved. We acknowledge that God is right and we're wrong, that we're sinners. We deserve to go to hell. Jesus paid for our sins and is the one that rose again for us. We acknowledge He can save us and we ask Him to. And when we do that, we ask Him to be our Lord as well. We confess that He is the Lord. We confess that He is the Savior. And God saves us. But even after we're saved, what does God want us to do but confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the world. Look, if you would, at Romans 10, where the Bible tells us, you know, most of us know verses 9 and 10, but do we know verse 11? Romans chapter 10, notice verses 9 and 10. I just quoted them. That thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in the heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Look at verse 11. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him should not be ashamed. God wants us to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The world needs to know this. And if you go to John 12, there's an example here of the Jewish rulers. Some of them believed on Jesus, but they wouldn't confess him. You know why? Because they were afraid. You ever heard of that? A Christian being afraid to confess Jesus? Yep, we hear about it all the time. Some of us maybe have that problem. John 12:42. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. There's that word confess again. They wouldn't confess Jesus because they didn't want to suffer the consequences. They were afraid of being put out of the synagogue. How many Christians won't confess Jesus because they're afraid they might face rejection of some sort, or people might not think they're so great or popular or whatever anymore? They're afraid. The fear of man bringeth a snare. Every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Notice it says, Philippians 2:11, to the glory of God the Father. Folks, that's why we're here. We're here to bring glory to God. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, the Bible says, do all to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31. We're here to bring Him glory. And one of the greatest ways to bring glory to God is to confess Jesus. Firstly, to confess Him to be your Savior, to be your Lord. Secondly, to confess Him to others once He is your Savior and your Lord. Because He's worthy of this. He died for this. He rose again for this. He created the universe. He created us. He is everything. And the Bible says that His name every knee should bow. I hope that every day you're bowing the knee to Jesus Christ. But I hope that every day you're confessing the name of Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says every tongue should confess. Every knee should bow, every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We are so blessed to be God's children, for born again, that we've made that decision to confess Christ as our Lord and Savior, and He saved us from hell. He gave us eternal life. He gave us a home in heaven. He gave us the Holy Ghost to indwell us. He's given us so much. He gave us His presence. He gave us His Word to guide us. What does He want us to do but confess Jesus? Tell others. Last thing Jesus told the disciples before He went back to heaven, ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. In Acts chapter 1. Confess. Every knee should bow. Every tongue should confess. Let's pray.